God is with you.
God is with you.
Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My absolute favorite movies or books or video games or TV shows are ones with twist endings that you don't see coming. But not just that you don't see coming, ones that have been hinted at the whole time, so that when you watch it a second time, you're kicking yourself the whole time thinking, how didn't I know that's what was going to happen? Kind of like how Bruce Willis was really dead the whole time. Or how Leonardo DiCaprio was actually a patient at the insane asylum that he was investigating. See what I did there? I told you about it in ways that wouldn't ruin the movie. So if you've seen it, you know what I mean. But if you haven't seen it, it didn't spoil anything. I thought about that for like half an hour before I came. Anyway, I feel like however we feel when we've been fooled by a really good movie is about 3% of what these two disciples walking with Jesus on the way to Emmaus must have felt. Can you imagine walking all day with someone you think you know better than anybody, only to discover you didn't even recognize them? You thought they were a stranger. Honestly, if I were one of those disciples, I'd think I'd lost my mind. I would be scheduling an appointment with a neurologist. So what exactly is going on? We're not really told why they don't recognize Jesus. Was it some sort of divine Jedi mind trick because Jesus didn't want them to know who he was just yet? Were they just that distraught and filled with grief that it affected their cognition? Did he physically look different after he was resurrected? Was he wearing pantyhose over his head like a cat burglar? We don't know. Now, some of those explanations are more likely than others. But at the end of the day, we don't know because it doesn't say. That's one of the things you're going to see about this passage, is that the things in it that are the easiest to get hung up on and to go down rabbit holes with are probably the least important aspects of the story. And if we get hung up there, we'll miss the stuff that really matters. So let's just all accept that they didn't know who Jesus was, and we are never going to know why, and it doesn't matter. Okay, good. So Jesus, who they don't recognize as Jesus, happens upon them walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus on the same day that the women discovered Jesus' tomb was empty. And they're walking along and they're talking about the events of the past week, you know, the Last Supper, the trial, the crucifixion, the empty tomb. And Jesus just butts into their conversation and says, "Hey guys, what you talking about?" Which I understand that times have changed and some cultures are friendlier than others, but this feels like a bit of a social faux pas to me, at least to our cultural sensibilities. I wouldn't just walk up to people I don't know and jump into their conversation, and I wouldn't really like it if somebody did it to me. Especially not if my good friend had just been executed and I knew there were people out there that wanted to do the same thing to me. I think I'd be a little paranoid about strangers in that moment. I definitely wouldn't want to let them know where I was planning on spending the night. So were the disciples supernaturally calmed by Jesus' presence, even though they didn't know it was him? Was that kind of suspicion and paranoia not really a part of their culture? Were these two disciples just, you know, kind of dumb? We don't know. But again, why they're so comfortable talking to this stranger is another question that we just won't ever know the answer to. In fact, far from being suspicious or short with Jesus, they're more amazed at how little he seems to know. Like, buddy, don't you watch the news? Everybody's talking about what went down. Do you live under a rock? And Jesus basically plays dumb. And he gets them to share their impression of everything that's been going on. Which is a brilliant teaching tactic. It's kind of like a pretest. He's seeing where their baseline of knowledge is. And just how much work he's going to have to do to set them straight at what he learns. It's kind of heartbreaking. One of them says, "Well, you know, we had hoped he was the Messiah. Had hoped." Implying no longer hoped. Implying they never understood how the sacrifice Christ was central to the way in which Jesus would be the Messiah. Not a deviation from the plan. His death wasn't a bug, it was a feature. And Jesus takes all this in, and then he says, "You lovable idiots. Shall I explain things to you again?" And explain he does, going clear back to Moses, telling them all the ways that the kingdom of God and grace and salvation and his role as the Messiah have been part of God's plan from the beginning. How the prophets have been talking about this very series of events for generations, including the painful parts, including death. He tells them, look, wherever you got the idea that Jesus would only be the Messiah if he avoids suffering, or if he amasses great earthly power, or if he manages lots of political victories, wherever you got those ideas, it wasn't from the prophets. Because they've been saying redemption comes with a cost. I know you don't want to believe it, because we don't want to believe anything that might make our lives a little harder, but not wanting to believe something doesn't make it not true. So the three of them go on walking and talking the entire 7-mile trek to go from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And they reach the place where the disciples are staying, and Jesus acts like he's just going to keep on walking, and he like starts to wave goodbye. Where was Jesus going? Did he have somewhere else to be? Did he have like plans on his calendar? Again, there are rabbit holes all over this story. But the disciples who still don't know who he is, they beg him, please spend the night with us. We want to keep talking to you. And Jesus lets his arm be twisted and he goes with them to meet up with the other disciples who also mistake Jesus for some stranger. So they sit down to eat dinner. I imagine they're pretty hungry by now. 7 miles is a long way to go in the desert. And Jesus takes the bread. And he blesses it and he breaks it. Which is weird because that's something the host is supposed to do. Not the guy that nobody knows. But Jesus, again, butts in and does it himself. Another social faux pas. But whatever feelings they have about that are soon completely overshadowed by the fact that, holy cow, that's Jesus! It's in the act of the breaking of bread that they recognize him. You know how everyone has that one feature, that one thing that helps you distinguish them, that helps you identify them in a crowd? It could be their laugh, it could be their walk, it could be their smile, it could be the fact that their hair is a different color every time you see them. I think that this is Jesus' thing. This is his feature. This is what lets you know who Jesus really is. What could be more recognizable about Jesus than the act of sharing a meal? This is what he was known for. This is what got him his reputation. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was called a glutton and a drunk by his critics. And you don't earn that reputation for nothing. It tells me the guy knew how to have a good time. He knew how to host a great dinner party, and he wasn't picky about who he ate with either. Lepers, that's fine. Samaritans, cool. Sex workers, there's plenty of room at the table. He shared meals with people he wasn't supposed to, people that just associating with would make him ritually unclean. And he didn't just share food. He shared ideas and compassion and stories and love and probably a joke or two. He shared himself with them by sharing a loaf of bread. And he did it all the time. This man who always made sure everyone was fed and included, that's who Jesus was, unmistakably. May we be that unmistakable force for love and grace and joy and inclusion in our community. And may we be recognized not so much by what we say or think, but by what we do.